Welcome to the Huntington Way Show, where we help parents navigate the educational maze. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, author and founder of inspirationalhomeschooling.com. Today's guest is Sherry McMinn. She is a mom of 11, and having graduated from homeschool teaching, she focuses on her work as a professional editor, author, blogger, speaker, Chex advertising manager. She's also the editor for Chex Homeschool Update magazine, serves as the exhibitor and sponsor chair for the Chex annual in-person Rocky Mountain Homeschool Conference and the Homeschool Summit's virtual events that happens biannually. Today, we will discuss how Sherry's life experiences have impacted her mission to share her story and gain knowledge to help others through her published books. We will also discuss her heart in addressing diversity through her new book, which will be released later this year. You're listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. Welcome to the show, Sherry.
Thanks, Yvonne. It's fun to be here.
Fun to have you here. I'm curious, how has your lifelong journey raising a diverse family built through marriage, birth, and adoption impacted your life?
Well, I think it's matured me in ways that I never would have imagined. I think I just was born into white, middle-class Christian middle America in Wichita, Kansas. And eventually I began to see life in different ways as I traveled, met my husband, started having our kids, and certainly when we adopted kids who are, some look very different from me, but also they just learn completely different. And it's helped me become way more patient and tolerant, but also way more conservative and biblical in my worldview. So, stretched me, certainly, absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like when we have kids, that's a big part of our growth.
It
We
is.
are learning, and I know having kids and then raising them and homeschooling them, my faith has grown exponentially,
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm so grateful,
Right.
you know.
Well, because more than anything, we have to constantly pray to keep them safe and out of trouble. And also pray that we won't lose our temper with them because we love them. But boy, it can go quickly, right?
Yeah. I mean, you face everything right here every day.
Yes,
And
yes.
so, yeah, we have emotions too.
We do, we
So,
do. And we're really glad we're not a reality show, that's for sure.
I can relate to that. Oh, so you have written four books, being impacted by so many different things in life. So, can you share a little bit about each of your books?
Sure. Well, my first book I wrote, Stretched Yet Unbroken, is about our family's five-generation legacy of Christian faith and how that got my great-grandparents who immigrated to the U.S., how that got them through very difficult times establishing homesteads, and then my grandparents, how wonderful they were, and then my parents and my husband and I, and now our kids, and really it's six generations because now I have grandkids. But it's just a book about common America. My favorite book series is the Ralph Moody. Father and I were ranchers, or some people call it Little Britches. And when I started writing down all of the memories that were coming to me after my husband died, my book turned into so much more. And I felt like when I'm gone to glory, I want my kids and grandkids and great-grandchildren or whoever is still to come to know about our family's life and just that we were common people who overcame huge things in life. Marriages stayed together, and people went from dirt poor to successful, but they were godly Christian people who really reached out to other people and helped their communities. And so I loved writing that book. And while I was writing it about my husband and my own family, then other relatives sent me, handwritten things from like 30 years ago that somebody was going to write a book and they never did and they died and now here's their manuscript. It's like, okay, I'm putting that in my book. So it really is, if you like history, it takes place all through the Midwest and from the 1800s on. And it's just a fun book, but it's very inspiring. And then it has chapters about our life and adopting kids and that kind of thing. So I just hope it inspires people. And one of my children says it's still their favorite book, you know. So, and then the next book I wrote was on adoption. And my husband had encouraged me, and I'd forgotten about it. And when I opened up my computer to, like, okay, I'm going to finally write a book on adoption, there it was all completely outlined. And I had done that like 2 years before my husband passed away, and I just didn't even remember. So that's my big 450-page book all about adoption. But the thing of it is, nobody talks about the hard stuff in adoption. They talk about how wonderful adoption is and how Christian families should adopt and blah, blah, blah. But nobody says, okay, my kid is a chronic bedwetter and she's 14 years old. What do I do? Or my child is acting out in totally inappropriate ways. What do I do? And what should the church do? And what should families do to surround other families? So it's a really good. I even got an endorsement from Vodi Bakum. I was totally excited about that. And then my next book was written during a very difficult time in our lives. My adopted daughter was, she died suddenly. She was actually murdered in a drug cartel hit. She made poor choices, wrong place, wrong time. And we had 2 years of court proceedings, and I was completely depressed. I've never been depressed in my life. I was completely depressed. So I thought, okay, well, I'm going to write a cookbook. Doesn't that sound fun? So just at my kitchen table with my cell phone, I wrote a cookbook, but it has all kinds of fun things about our farm animals, and everything's organized by what type of meat it is. But it also just talks about my daughter's life and how she loved food and she loved to share food. She had just such a wonderful, godly heart inside a fragile exterior. So that was fun. And then my latest book that I finished 2 years ago, takes me 2 to 3 years to write a book, was on death. And the reason I decided to write that is when I was a widow, there were no books on death for widows that I thought were actually helpful and practical. And some of them were written by men, and I'm thinking, what? I'm sorry, a widow is different than a man, you know. So I wrote this book, and I tell people, you know, read it when you're ready. If someone has died, read it when you're ready. But just cry along with me, because crying is a mechanism God gives us to process our grief. And there's stages of grief that you have to go through. And if you're a parent and you've lost a spouse, then you have to help your kids grieve. And that was very difficult. And then a few of my friends wrote guest chapters on what they have dealt with in death. A sheriff friend of mine talks about when death is an emergency. A widow friend of mine talks about suicide, that type of thing. And then my next book we can talk about too when you're ready.
Oh, yeah. I want to know what inspired you to write this new book.
Okay, well, my new book, which is going to launch this fall, I thought it was going to launch this summer, but I've just got too much going on. It's called Embracing Diversity as a Family, Preparing the Next Generation to Flourish. And the reason I decided to write this is because there is such a hateful narrative out there about any diversity, whether it's about people's age or their shape, you know, their body type, or their skin color. It's just so much hateful narrative out there. And some pastors, Christian pastors, have written books on it, but I wanted to talk about it as a mom. I have faced a lot of different negative looks and certainly negative comments about my very diverse family. But having a diverse family has so enriched my world. And now that we have so many immigrants coming from other countries as refugees, and we have, I really don't use the term race because I think we're all one race, like Ken Ham says, we're one blood, but different ethnicities and cultures and skin tones. And some of my children have married outside our normal white Christian middle class culture, and those in-laws of mine enrich my life so much. And so I wanted to talk about diversity as a positive thing and how we can raise our kids to embrace who they are and embrace people who are different from them.
Oh, this is great, Sherry. You have such great books that really help people in all kinds of stages of life with all kinds of matters. So thank you for sharing your story, your experiences, your inspiration for all of these books. When we come back, Sherry is going to share some seasoned guidance for raising future generations to navigate diversity, equity, and inclusion from a biblical perspective. Welcome back to the Huntington Way Show. You are listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, and I'm here with Sherry McMinn, and we're talking about raising the future generations to navigate diversity, equity, and inclusion from a biblical perspective. Sherry, what are some of the issues you see in America culture today?
Well, I think for the most part, people would like to appreciate diversity and they would like to include in their lives people different from them. But the narrative that's being pushed by the media and sadly even our government is really what comes from a communist Marxist type idea. And we need to look at it from God's idea. You know, God created a beautiful world. Look at all the flowers. Look at all the cute dogs. Look at, you know, just all the diversity he put in his creation. And he created people to be diverse, to like different things, to have different strengths and weaknesses, to live in different cultures, to have different hair types. And we should embrace that from his viewpoint, not an anti-God viewpoint. And I feel like a lot of the headlines right now include things that are meant to divide us. And I wanted to write a book about unifying us because I do believe we live in the greatest nation on earth. I've gone to a lot of other nations and I still like the good old USA. And I don't want people to destroy it. I want us to really work together to welcome people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, as the Bible calls us to.
Oh, that is absolutely beautiful. And I think every one of us could really enjoy what you have written here. I can't wait till it comes out.
I can't wait to finish writing it.
Oh, so, you know, you're talking about all of this narrative, and us as parents, you know, we can do something to help. So, what is your advice? How can parents be proactive in parenting their children to make a difference, raising future generations to navigate the diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Well, I think there are some overarching ideas that are worth considering. First of all, I think everybody really needs to read the Bible, you know, and you need to read it from the beginning to the end. And you see the heart of God definitely in the Old Testament trying to constantly protect and provide for his creation of man. And then in the New Testament with the coming of Jesus and then ending in Revelation, you know, God wants everyone to know the gospel. And I think as a family, more than anything, having a Bible devotion every day is really important. I know a lot of people can't find a church that they like or they feel they fit into. And I just encourage you to find your community somewhere and start to work to help build a really great church. You know, the most segregated America is on Sunday morning. You know, white people go to white churches, black people go to black churches, you know, Native Americans worship in a different way than Protestant Presbyterians like me. And we need to be able to appreciate each other's cultural norm, but with a biblical worldview. So I think that's the way to start, is God's word. But second, I think that within our families, we need to raise our children to be aware that people prejudge each other, and we're not going to partake in that. We're going to bless people. We're going to meet them right where they're at, whether they have a different skin tone than us, whether they speak a different language, whether they think they're a different gender than we are. We need to love them because they need the gospel just like we do. And so I think to be aware, to raise your children to be siblings that respect each other's differences, I mean, I remember a hilarious mealtime when all of my kids, who, half of them look completely different than the rest of them, we were having an argument about men wearing kilts because we have a Scottish heritage for my family, for my husband's family. And my son, who is, a big, dark black man, says to my son, "Well, you used to wear, your family used to wear skirts." And then my, Scottish heritage son said, "Well, your relatives did too, And we just need to laugh about it more than we spew hate about it. And so we raised our kids to be able to talk about any conversation respectfully. And once in a while, there's some inappropriate jokes they make, and I'm like, well, I don't think that's appropriate, But they're aware of people who are different than them, and how can they embrace them as friends in their circles of friendship, or minister to them through church or whatever. I think that's really important that you as parents are like that, and then you teach your kids to be like that. And this includes people that are neurodiverse from us, mentally ill or profoundly delayed in their brain functioning ability, or maybe there's physical handicaps. We can love every kind of person because God made that person. So I think that's really important. And then I really love the homeschool model because you can study history from your own viewpoint. We have a huge library. It's shamefully humongous. But we have books on every culture there is. And whether it's Asian or African or Middle Eastern or whatever. And we had our kids read and discuss these things because we live in a global world, don't we? I mean, my kids have been to so many countries, it's like I'm jealous. People are just different. And when you travel, you come to really appreciate their culture. I talk about my own struggles in the book of why I had to get over this hurdle of, what some people will call white privilege, but really it's Christian privilege. My parents were happily married, they worked hard, they built a life, and that was a privilege for me, and I got to go to college. And I want other people to have that privilege. I want people to stay married, have kids, work hard. And so that's how we've raised our children, to see the difference. As Dr. Alveda King and her friend Ginger wrote a book called We Are Not Colorblind. And we shouldn't be colorblind. We should see people's color and love them anyway.
Oh,
Yeah.
love
So,
and just embrace them.
yes, yes. And, I loved having gone on mission trips to different cultures and to see them worshiping God in a way different than my, narrow Presbyterian view is just so wonderful. The songs and the clapping and the dancing. And my son, who's black, said, "Mom, the Marines has the best worship service." It's just so great to see all these men who are so different from each other just praising God together. And to me, that's what we should be doing.
Oh, absolutely. Now, can you talk a little bit about maybe like older people or younger people or people with handicaps and how
Yeah.
sometimes I think people or kids in general can't always relate. So how can you help them to just really embrace
Yeah.
all those?
Well, now that I am 65, I'm one of those old people. I walk slower. I process thinking slower. I sometimes need help getting in and out of a vehicle. And we need to show love and respect to our elders. My parents have these different health needs, but their brain is still so strong and they just love to talk. So I think talking to older people and being patient with them is number one. And just loving them. I mean, they're part of your church community, your neighborhood, your family, whatever. And then for people that have that are physically disabled, I have a friend who their family has adopted several disabled children, and they just purposely make time to get them to all their medical appointments, but also involve them in the fun of life, whether it's the Special Olympics or going to Cherry Creek Reservoir or whatever. I think that we need to include people, and I'm grateful for the ADA laws and how people can be out and about. And so, yeah, if somebody is blind and they're using a cane, number one, stay out of their way so you don't knock them down. But number two, say, do you need help crossing the street? Let's talk to people. I hated COVID because of masks. We couldn't talk to each other. We couldn't see our smiles. So now is the time to smile at people and to help them. And, there's a whole group of people in modern culture who despise children. They don't have children. They don't want to be around children. And you really see this on airline flights. It's shocking. And so I travel by myself, usually Southwest, so you pick your seat, And so if there's two kids sitting next to each other and there's an empty seat, I'll sit by them because I want to set an example that they're worthy of our time and they're fun to be with. So I think you just need to get down to the eye level of somebody, whether it's a little kid or a person in a wheelchair, or look up to people who are older and wiser than you and learn from each other.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Sherry, for sharing this. Can you share where people can find your books, your website?
Yeah, so I have a website, sherrymcminn.com, and I also am on Facebook as Sherry Howard McMinn. I always loved my maiden name, so I kept it. And I'm hoping that my book will launch September 10th, which is Grandparents' Day. I thought that was a fitting day to launch a book. And that means I better get back to where I live in Florida from Colorado and finish my book. But what I love about my book is it has over 200 resources, nearly 100 books I've read, over 150 films that I've watched, either documentaries or major motion pictures that a couple or and some are kids that kid level movies that you can watch to really learn to see the world through God's eyes and how when we are different from each other, there can be conflict, but there can also be resolution. That's my favorite part of the book was watching all the movies. And also just a lot of recommended resources that can be used for homeschooling or just parents gaining more knowledge by reading books. So sherrymcminn.com. And if you follow me on Facebook, then I'll announce my launch then. Hopefully it's September 10th, but maybe not till October. We'll see. And then I hope to do a number of radio and podcast interviews. So, find me on Facebook, Sherry Howard McMinn. I do have some conservative rants, so just scroll through them if you don't agree.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing your guidance on raising future generations to navigate diversity, equity, and inclusion from a biblical perspective.
You bet.
This is Yvonne Strawn, today's host on the Huntington Way Show, where we help parents navigate the educational maze. Thank you for joining us.